You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. You are listening to a replay of Sunday, June the 19th, Sunday service. Please enjoy the message from Pastor Raph and the music from Caitlin and the worship team.
So happy Father's Day, as I said. Fathers are a blessing. But I realized on a day like today, I just was thinking about as I was praying for the service, that not everybody has a good relationship with their fathers. And we need to remember that and keep that in mind. And as such, I just want to encourage those that don't have a good relationship with their fathers and their fathers are not in their life for some reason. Just consider what the Psalm says in Psalm 68:5. That God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. In other words, a place without water. But God cares for the fatherless. And if you have had a bad relationship with your dad, just know that you can turn to God. And he will meet that need. And I pray that he would restore that relationship with your father, with your earthly father. Amen. Let's just remember in prayer Pastor Dave and Gina and Jessica as they're holidaying in their new camper, their new RV. They'll be back next week. So, and also I just want to give thanks and praise for healing that we know that's taking place in Mel Knutson's life. We got to see him. Gary, myself, and Pastor David went to see him, and it was just amazing. Just the presence of God as he was sharing his experiences. And he basically checked out of life for 2 months in that coma. And God brought him back. Our God is good. Yes. Amen. Amen. So just as we pray as well, we want to remember Clara. She's not feeling well. And there's a couple of children that have been... We found out through the prayer chain that are quite sick as well, Jordan and Traven. So we want to be praying for them as well. And also remember Donald Knutson, which is Mel's brother. He's a brand new believer. I've been visiting him in the hospital, but he's suffering from a very painful back problem right now. And so he's still in the hospital as far as I know, so let's continue to pray for him. And of course we're going to pray for our nation. And our province, our town. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. You are our good Father. We bless you and praise you that your promises are yes and amen. So, Father, we just rejoice in what you've done around us for our eyes to see healing take place in the life of Mel. We pray the same for his brother, Donald. We pray as well for these boys, Jordan and Traven. We pray for healing for them. We pray for Clara. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch her even now. And we pray your blessing on Eric also. Father, we pray as well, Lord, for Pastor David and Gina. We thank you for them, Lord. We just pray that you would touch them in a special way, and Jessica. And God... We just say that we need you in our world. We need you in our country. Look at our country, oh God. We need you. We need revival in this country and in our province, in our town, in this very place, in this house. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon your people today. We depend on you. Be glorified in your church, oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. And I pray a special touch on fathers. Lord, may we know, all of us know that we are sons first. Sons of the Most High God. We belong to you. We praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we all stand together and sing praises to our Lord God, God our Father. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Trumpet calls, so lift your Blessed
to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Shining in the light of your glory. Things you shower on us. Thank you for being our Father.
Amen. Thank you so much, team. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Well, a very, very happy Father's Day to each one of you fathers here. You're all such a blessing. Yeah, let's give them a big hand. And there'll be something that Raph will announce later on about something for the fathers. So Just wanted to give you some announcements. For Women's Prayer and Share, there's a reminder that the Women's Prayer and Share has been changed to from happening weekly to every second Tuesday of the month during the summer. So it took place this past Tuesday, and next one will be on July the 12th, and that's such a blessing. Outreach mission, we had last Sunday a group of ladies go out onto the streets, and man, that was a real blessing. We really enjoyed that, didn't we? Yeah, we praise God for that. There was a really positive response. There were some neat conversations that went on and just sharing of Jesus' love with a lot of the people out on the streets. And just want to say thank you to Erica Kubisch. Where are you, Erica? Oh, there you are, right in front of me. Thank you so much for organizing that. And if any of you, yes. If any of you want to share, and it's just not just for women, but any of you who want to share in that outreach, just have a chat with Erica. It's going to be happening again very soon. So, yeah, please come and join in, men and women. There's a Bible study this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we're going to be winding down. This is our last one. Our last one will be June 29th, so we've got one more after this. So please come out. It's a real blessing there. Also, we're continuing to meet on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. for prayer and a short time of coffee afterwards. And this will continue on throughout the summer, as well as prayer on Saturday mornings at Gary's shop. That's going to continue. And the men have been very devoted to God and committed to prayer on Saturday mornings. That's at 8 a.m. And if you haven't ever been to that, men, come. It's a powerful gathering. Another thing that has been going on throughout the year is the children's ministry, but during the summer that's also going to be closed down. So parents, please keep that in mind and prepare for the summer. The radio ministry, 89.1 FM, Grace Christian Radio. This has been such a blessing. And we just want to thank Adam and Sonia Sumbler for all their hard work. They've done so much in this special and unique ministry. And also, we're very thankful for Pastor David and Diana Wedge and Debbie Graham and Marie Rad and all those who gave their testimonies, as well as Andrew and Russ Croker and Linda Croker and Pastor Raff and Debbie. And there's many others that I'm not mentioning, but I just want to thank you all so much for all that you've put into that radio station. It's blessing many people. And you can still hear devotionals on there from Lee. Speaking from heaven. And we just ask that you would pray for that ministry, that God would continue to use it powerfully to build his kingdom. So next Sunday is Baptism Sunday, and that's exciting. Yeah. So there's a sign-up sheet at the back if you're still interested in being baptized, or you sense the Holy Spirit is nudging you toward that. And please talk to Pastor Raff if that's something that's on your heart to do. So we're excited about that. And following that, following the time of baptism, there's going to be a fellowship meeting. So Terry Lynn has an announcement about that.
Good morning. As I mentioned last week, we are going to do fellowship coffee once a month, but next Sunday, in light of the baptisms, it will be a time of refreshments and cookies and squares, but also sandwiches. So just a light lunch. I have put a sign-up sheet at the back of the lobby there for people to sign up if they want to be a helper in the hospitality area. We have a few designated leaders, but we're needing a list of helpers, names and phone numbers. So if you'd be happy to sign up there, the duties would be setting up and serving and taking down at each of the events that we have, whether it be fellowship, funerals, potlucks, whatever. But we do need a list of volunteers. And then you'll still be called upon, if you're not helping serve and clean up, to help prepare foods. So again, if you can sign up there and plan to have sandwiches, coffee, tea, and goodies next Sunday after church. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry Lynn. We have a box at the back, a wooden box, and it says on it, Adopt a Family. And this is a box to collect food. So if you have non-perishables at home, or you are going grocery shopping, and you think, oh, I should get an extra few of those, bring them by and put them in the box, and they will get delivered to a family that the church has adopted that's in need. There's also for tithes and giving, there's a box at the back on the wall. It's a little wooden box that looks like that. and you can put your tithes and offerings in there as well. There's also online e-transfer available at gracebooks@shaw.ca, or you can use a credit card or just visit the website. You can also do it on there. So there's lots of different ways. So yeah, thank you. Have a wonderful morning. Go ahead.
Shall we do meet and greet this morning?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, meet and greet. Go ahead and walk around and meet and greet each other. Thank you, Lord, for all blessings. Thank you, Father God. We love our earthly fathers, and we love our Father God the most. All our love to you, Father God.
If I can just get everyone to take your seats, please. Please take your seats now, everybody.
Come to order.
Have a seat, everybody. Testing, testing. Okay. Can you hear me? So-so. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Please take a seat, everybody. You know, it is such a pleasure to see that you love being together. That's an awesome thing. Like to catch up and fellowship right here. That's wonderful. So how's everybody doing today? Yeah? Good. Blessed? Blessed. You know, it always amazes me how the Lord speaks during our prayer time before service begins. And just was amazing because the very scriptures that Linda and other people, Gerald, were talking about were the songs that were being sung today. So there was no collaboration on that. You know, it's the Spirit of God speaking. And I'm so encouraged by that. One of the things that came up was this verse that is in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And it's talking about John the Baptist and his mission, as it says here, as the angel Gabriel was speaking to his father Zechariah before he was even born, was that he will go before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. And the disobedient to wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, that's what I want to do today. Now, I'm no John the Baptist. Maybe I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, I don't know. But I'm here to give a message. Feel very passionate about it. I'm a father myself. You know, every time that you have to get into the Word as a pastor, you go under the microscope. And I feel bad for my kids because, you know, I forget that how much they feel under the microscope too. They're not only pastors' kids, they're also missionary kids. So they got a double dose of the microscope. So I certainly don't want to be up here like an intoxicated uncle at a wedding, embarrassing the heck out of them. That's not my goal. So if I do, somebody throw something at me. You guys have permission. One thing about my family is that every Father's Day, they always make me feel so special. And I feel like I don't deserve it. Because as much as I would like to be like our Heavenly Father, all the time, I fail. Often. The title of the sermon is called A Story of a Compassionate Father and His Two Wayward Sons. You know, it's always, we know it as the prodigal son, right? But there were two wayward sons in the story. As fathers, what kind of children do we want to raise? Answers to that question may vary. You know, you might hear things, you might think of things like, or you might hear, you know, great kids or intelligent kids, hardworking, responsible, independent. These are great things to hope for our kids. Successful. Why not? We want to see our kids succeed, right? Socially, we don't want them to abuse alcohol, get involved with drugs, or worse. We want them to be law-abiding, ethically upstanding citizens. Overall, nice people, right? But as followers of Jesus Christ, I think we can agree that these are good attributes, of course, but what does the Bible tell us? What does the Bible say to us about this? But if you're looking for a how to raise good children in the Bible, or a list of 7 steps to take, you're not going to find that. If you're looking for that, you have to go somewhere else. But what you will find is the wisdom of God. You will find plenty of examples of fathers who failed as well. And their sons, or their children, ended up way off the mark. The classic example, of course, is King David, his son Absalom. Absalom wanted to kill his own father. And you know what? He didn't repent. And you know what happened to him? You remember? He hung from a tree by his hair, and he was cut down. The kind of kids that the Bible shows us that we should raise, fathers that we have a responsibility to raise, is kids that can receive the grace of God, that can receive it. That know who they are. That they know that they're our children. And that they know that they belong to God. That they're children of God. These are the kids that we want to raise. These are the types of kids that we want to raise. But the question is, what kind of fathers do we have to be? Let's start on the parable. So it's Luke chapter 15. And just a bit of background. So Jesus is in the presence of Pharisees and tax collectors and sinners. Okay. So when he gives these amazing parables, I just love them. It's the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And, you know, as he's speaking to these groups of people, their responses, I imagine, are very different. You know, those that are far away from God, you know, as we look at this story, I think they're being drawn to God. But those that think they're close to God are being further repelled. Verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man that had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between the two. Typically, in the first century, this kind of thing was not done. A father would not divide his wealth to his children while he was still alive. So, I don't know if you know this, you may have. You've probably heard sermons on this before. But it was like this son was saying, "Father, I don't really care about you. All I want is your money." It was, in other words, saying, "I wish that you were dead so I could get your money." And the interesting thing about this father, right off the bat, is that instead of any kind of correction taking place, what does he do? He does it. You know what that was? That was grace, right from the very beginning. He had the place to correct his son. He was in a place where this would have been humiliating for him as a father. What would the neighbors think? They would think, what a terrible son this is. But he did it anyways. Self-centered on the part of the son, really. Boy, kids those days. Absolutely narcissistic. Selfish. You know, we think that that's the generation today. But this is first century. Okay? What does it tell us? It tells us that people are sinful. People are sinful. It doesn't say that's a bad father, as we'll see later on. We'll actually see nothing but goodness in the Father. In the ancient world, you got to understand, disrespect towards one's parents or neglecting them could actually land you in prison. So even in Greco-Roman culture, it was really important that you honored your parents. The Torah says in Exodus 10:12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land and the Lord your God, that the Lord your God has given you. In Western culture, we look at shame differently. You know, there are other cultures that actually are shame-based, and this really connects, this parable really connects more. So because we're from North America, shame is viewed differently. But fathers, have you ever felt shame from your kids before? Well, maybe not in the same way, but I'm sure at some time you do. Because they make mistakes. And sometimes it kind of reveals something that's lacking in us, actually. But you know, I think in this day and age, what we have is sort of a spectrum of messing up for our kids. It's like the sliding scale, you know, the spectrum. It's like on one side, it's like, well, not so bad. The other side, really bad. So, and then, you know, because we can tell ourselves, okay, well, they messed up, but it could have been worse, right? It could have been worse. You know, in cultures like the shame-based cultures that exist today, if a child brings dishonor or perceived dishonor to the family, a member of that family has a duty to kill them. It's true. In fact, in Deuteronomy 21:18-21, it gave this instruction regarding a rebellious son. So I'm talking about son, but I mean, again, it's just, we're talking children, okay? If someone has a stubborn and rebellious child, per se, who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them, they will discipline him. His father and mother shall take a hold of him and bring him to the elders, the gate of the town, and they shall say to the elder, "This is our stubborn and rebellious son. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." This is real. This is how it was. Then all the men of the town are to stone him to death. Did you know that was in the Bible? No. "You must purge this evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid." You know what I have to say about that? Thank God Jesus fulfilled the law. Thank God. Thank God that he died for every rebellious child. Because this is what we would need to do. And like I said, some cultures still do that today. Verse 13 says, "Not long after that, The younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth on wild living. That is just a picture of sin nature. Because it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why did the son do this? Was he just out sowing his proverbial wild oats? No, he was far away. It says that he was in a faraway country. He spent everything he had. Again, narcissistic, self-indulgent, just didn't care about anything else or the consequences. Men, do you remember a time when you were young when you felt like that, when you did that? Maybe. We've all been there. I imagine just when all the money ran out and the partying was over, the music stopped, all his so-called friends left him, woke up with a headache, dirty. He's like, what happened? Where is everybody? The big spender is now nobody. Proverbs 23 verse 5 says, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. They will surely sprout wings and fly off in the sky like an eagle. It was true. Desperate times came upon him, and this was not part of his plan. It was a crisis. How was he to know there was going to be a famine? Right? He had no plan for that. All of a sudden, he is in this place never imagined he would be. You know, people that have been through addictions, they know exactly what this is all about. They know what this means. Wake up in a ditch somewhere, or wake up and you don't even know how you got there. There was a time that I was living so wild that I didn't know I was going to make it. I really didn't. Because every time just got worse and worse and worse. Verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So these pods that the Bible's talking about here are carob pods. And where we lived in Israel, there was a big tree. And so, you know, I was just like, you know, when I knew what they were, I was just like, okay. And you start chewing it, it's just like, ugh, kind of sweet. But I can't imagine eating this. And, you know, it's not really for human consumption. You can live off of it if you had to. But it's hard to digest. It's meant for animals. There's a Bible expert, and he's an expert on Middle Eastern culture, named Kenneth Bailey, who said that it's possible that somebody who was working for Gentiles also probably would have made a little bit of pork meat available for his slaves. In the ancient world, in those cultures, unclean animals had an association with death. So it's like this boy who would have been raised in the Torah, who would have been taught the word of God, all of a sudden finds himself around these animals that are unclean, that he was taught are unclean. All of a sudden it's like he is like in the grave. You know, these pigs and animals, unclean animals, were associated with spiritual darkness. So it was like he felt like he was dying. You know? And rock bottom. Like I said, the pigs were associated with pagan ritual practices. Okay? He came to his senses. It's like he woke up from a nightmare. You know? And it's like, He's thinking, how could I have gotten here? And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You know, people have argued and say, you know what? He was thinking about his stomach. He's talking about food. He wants to get food. No. You know what? He's recognizing how low he's gotten. He's recognizing, my father can make this right. I just need to go back to him. You know, there's a moment of clarity that's taking place. So the biggest thing as parents, what sometimes we do when our kids are wayward, is we enable them without them coming to a place of recognizing what they've done. Have you taught your kids the way of the Lord? Well, when it really matters, they'll come back. They will come back. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that because the scripture teaches that. Because nobody was with that young man except the Spirit of God, reminding him, I don't need to be here. I will lay my identity down as a son in order to return to my father. He was serious. Lamentations 3:40. It's not on there, but it says, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. His father made sure he knew the commandments of God, because this is what's coming back to him now. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child up in the way that he should go, for when he is old, he will return. He will not depart from it. The son knew that he needed what he needed to do, and he repented. Psalm 51:1-4 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to my unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Verse 20 says, so he got up and he went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him. It's a beautiful, beautiful scene. Threw his arms around him and kissed him. So this father, who was publicly humiliated by his son for what he did, double humiliated for coming back. How, you imagine how he came back. Covered in filth. No shoes, as we'll find out, because he's going to put shoes on him. Probably ripped clothes. Stinking. And his father, okay, so talk about dignified, okay. So in those days, the clothing they wore, it didn't, you know, if you would make sudden movements, it would come up and reveal your leg. Well, that was also something that a Jewish man would never do, because it would show his leg, and that was shameful. But he didn't care. He ran toward his son. Didn't even ask him a question. Didn't say, where's the money? Didn't say, oh, you stink. You're dirty, you're filthy. He ran over and kissed him. This is the love of the Father. This is the love of the Father shown through Jesus Christ. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were filthy, stinking, been in the pig pen. Covered head to toe with the filth of our sin. And he embraced us. What a beautiful picture. But there must have been a demeanor in his son that revealed his repentant heart. Something like this. The shame. You know, because he knew. He didn't. The father acted first before the son even said anything to him. Something like this. My father, it says Psalm 51 again. Sorry. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifice is my God, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. God will not turn that away. God will never turn away a repentant heart. Verse 21, the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So this is what I was talking about. He took this identity of a son he was willing to lay down for the sake of restoration, for the sake of living near his father again. He would rather become a servant, a worker, and lay down his sonship. Romans 8, 14 to 15 says, for those who are led of the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about adoption to sonship. And you call out, Abba, Father, Daddy. This is what's happening. This is what happens when we come and repent before God. We cry out, Abba, Father. It's sonship. We were slaves to sin, but now we are sons. And we have this privilege of calling out, Daddy. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God sent His Spirit of our Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It is, isn't it? And then in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So here is a scene of restoration. Lavish grace. He was filthy. He went and had a bath, obviously. He got new clothes. He got sandals on his feet. He got a ring on his finger. Welcome back with love. And he was in the pig pen. It's beautiful. This feast of celebration, the best that his father had. And all those guests, they would have been from the community that would have known what happened. But here they are, invited to a party. Celebrate, my son is home. He's come back from the dead. He's alive, he was lost, and he's found. Come and celebrate. And people would have came. But imagine that. What a beautiful picture. You know what it reminds me of? The wedding feast. The wedding feast to come. It's a picture of each one of us. Fathers, have you tasted the grace of Jesus Christ? And if you have, are you able to give it? We forget so easily sometimes. There's a party because Jesus said that there is rejoicing in heaven that occurs when a sinner repents. Right? He told his audience about in the parable after the lost coin. He concluded that parable with this statement. In the same way I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over a sinner who repents. It is time for a party when someone repents. And this is the picture Jesus is giving. So when our kids, fathers, when our kids repent, celebrate, embrace it, receive it, pour out love. You 1 John 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's who we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We are the children of God. Verse 25, meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on here? Your brother has come, that he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. And he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, his brother, that's how he refers to him, you came home, you killed the fattened calf. The news of his brother coming back elicited anger from this older brother, the responsible one. You know, it's interesting how in our walk with God, we start being one son and we can end up the other. And we tasted the grace of God when we were far in a far-off country. We were in the pig pen. We came home filthy. We were received by God, lavishes his love upon us, and then later on, we complain about others. As a father, this is very, very sobering and disturbing. He was angry. But now it was this brother's turn to dishonor his father. Because this party that he was having, again, the whole neighborhood was around. He invited everybody to come. And here is this issue with the son. You know, you can imagine you're walking by having a drink or something like that, and you see this interaction going on, and the son refusing to come in. No, I'm not coming in. Not if he's here, that son of yours. Forget it. I've been slaving for you, and you don't even give me anything. It's hard-hearted. And the father, again, graciously pleading with him, come. It's not like the father said, you miserable so-and-so, can't you understand what's going on here? No, he's pleading with him, please, please come. Your brother, reminding him, that's your brother. Don't call him my son, he's your brother as well. He didn't understand grace. He didn't understand. He viewed himself as a slave. Do you sometimes feel like you're a slave for God? I've been there before. Where there's expectation on my life or something like that, and all of a sudden it's like you're running. And all of a sudden, the more you feel that way, the less grace you have to give. So this son is not loved any less. Verse 16 says, my son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This son did not remember that he was a son. He thought he was a slave. He felt very entitled as well. Oh, you know, why couldn't I get a goat? Why couldn't I get that and do something myself? But what he forgot was he could. He didn't realize that. How many times do we think that God is not giving us things? And all we have to do is ask. If we ask according to his will, won't he give it? Right? We're not slaves. We're children. But the more we act like slaves, the less grace that we have to pour out to others. Because we forgot our identity. The question I have for you fathers today is, who do you relate to most in this story? Wayward son number one in a faraway country, sitting in the pig pen starving? Is that where you are? Are you far away? You're with your family, but you're not there? You forgot your identity and you lost yourself. You lost your way. I say to you this morning, come back. Come back. Your family desperately needs you. If you're listening in the radio and that's you, just come back to your family. Come back to Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. And He will receive you with open arms. Or do you relate to wayward son number two? In God's service, but you're struggling inside. You feel like a slave. You feel like you're not appreciated. You feel like others have it better than you. You don't even know that you're a son of the Most High. You seem to always be able to remind people when they do something wrong. You have chapter and verse. You can spell it out plainly, and you see it so clearly. Come back. Come back to the Father. Receive the grace that you once knew. Receive His love that you can give love and forgiveness to your children. They desperately need you. They desperately need you in this day and age to show the heart of Christ, to show the heart of the Father, to embrace them, to love them. That doesn't mean to allow them to just keep going the way they're going. If they genuinely repent before you, embrace them, receive them. Or maybe, and this is my prayer, maybe you fathers can relate most to the Father heart of God. That's my prayer. And I know there's some here. And I know there's some that are out there that are listening. Don't lose that. Because it's so desperately needed. And if you have that, and you know you do, teach others. Be willing to share with younger men who are fathers that get it wrong. Just as you've received that grace, pour it out to others. So practical and so desperately needed in this time. After all, where do we learn to be fathers? From our fathers? Well, you know, I said once that I would never do some of the things my dad did. And he did some good things. But the bad things, I said, I'd never do those things. Guess what? It happens. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the very heart of the Father, we will be able to share with others that heart. We will be able to live that way, and we will see our children be children of grace, who can receive grace, and who know who they are. I thank God and I honor you, men. Stand up, please. All you men, all you fathers, please stand up. I'm going to just pray for you. God, our Father, I just thank you for these men. I thank you that you've called us, many of us, to be fathers. And Lord, we get it wrong. We know that. So I just, on behalf of these men, I just say, Lord, we need you. We need to keep our eyes fixed on you. We need to remember the grace that we received as prodigals ourselves, whether the younger brother or the older brother. I pray, O God, that we would be able to grasp that, and not only grasp that heart of the Father, but to be able to impart that to our children. I bless these men, and I pray that you would touch them in a special way today. I thank you, Father, that they are here today. I thank you for those listening today. May they also receive a touch from you, Lord. For you are the good, good Father. You love us, and that's who you are. You may be seated. Well, I asked you, who do you identify with most? And I just want to say that I identify with all of them. One time or another, I've been there as well. I've been in the place where I'm at home but not there and elsewhere. Not to say that I'm rolling around in the pig pen, but, you know, struggling. I've also been, it's been really easy for me to identify my kids' mistakes. And that I sincerely am ashamed of. But the good news is, other times, as I've received from the Father, as I remember His grace in my life, as I appropriate that truth in my life, I can pour that out to them as well. Amen. Amen. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. We need you. Fathers need you. We need you in this time, in this generation. Lord, as we recognize even such similarities between even history, times in history, Lord, where sin is sin, no matter what time in history it was. So, Lord, we recognize how we don't know how to be fathers. We need to look to you. We need to remember your grace. We need to remember that grace that you poured out to us and pass it on and embrace our children and know and teach them your ways, that they too, when they're far away in a faraway land and in the pig pen, that they would come to their right minds and repent and come home. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, O good Father. You are the Father of lights, the giver of good and precious gifts. We bless you and we praise you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. I think I just forgot to mention one thing. This is a gift that the church has for all the fathers. And Gary is going to pass those out at the end. So these are prayer cards. And there's 101 verses. There are cards in here. So this is our Father's Day gift for all the men today.
Take
Lord bless you all. Make sure that you tell someone you love them before you go. Just shake their hand and give them a hug. And have a wonderful Father's Day. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our service. Come join us next Sunday at 2416 Cedar Street at 10:30. We'd love to have you.